I'm Tony Stark. I build neat stuff. I got a great girl. And occasionally, save the world. So why can't I sleep?
So Iron Man, man, Iron Man 3, he's this time he's back in ultra suits and shit. You know?
And this time apparently he's dumber.
Hey, I gotta say, a lot of people are saying that, oh, that's the stupidest move you can do by giving his address out. But I gotta look at myself. If I was Iron Man, I'd be like, you know, my arrogance will sometimes get out the best of me, and I'd probably do the same.
What I love the best, where he's just like, yeah, come after me, Iron Man. And as soon as he gets back to the house, we're on full security,
he's like, come
right?
At me,
yeah,
bro.
We're on full security, yeah, right, Sharpton?
You know, I love the arrogance. I have to say.
But it's just like, I love that they're smart enough to have that moment where it's like his arrogance, and then immediately after he's like, yeah, oh shit.
He turns around, he goes, fuck.
Yeah, I'm going to have the Mandarin come right after me. Shit.
I know a lot of people will be like, man, what a stupid idea, compute, but I got to say, I would do the same. I'm not going to lie. I'd do the same thing. I'd be showing off. I'd be like, look, hey, motherfucker, come at me, bro. 310.
I'd be doing what he was doing at the beginning.
Fuck you, man, I ain't got. I'm Iron Man, baby. I took down the Avengers, you know?
I'd be doing what he was doing at the beginning.
Yeah,
it's just like
Iron Man 3.
We're going to get in. All right. You want to give a quick synopsis before we start going into this?
Iron Man 3. It pits a brash but brilliant industrialist Tony Stark / Iron Man against an enemy whose reach knows no bounds. When Stark finds his personal world destroyed at his enemy hands, he embarks on a harrowing quest to find those responsible. This journey at every turn will test his mettle. With his back against the wall, Stark is left to survive by his own devices, relying on his ingenuity and instinct to protect those closest to him. As he fights his way back, Stark discovers the answer to the question that is secretly haunting him. Does the man make the suit, or does the suit make the man? Ooh.
Well,
I gotta say, it's definitely the man making the suit.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things I really, really like about the movie, is that they do get into that factor a lot.
And I've been hearing a lot of complaints and reviews where they're saying that, like, oh, you know, it's not enough Iron Man, or you know, without the suit, he's nothing, whatever, and that's a big flaw, whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? I kind of enjoyed the more Tony Stark parts than I did Iron Man, which I found surprising, actually.
See, here's my thing. I actually really like that they did that, just because of the fact that for a superhero movie, it was different. It did something to change the game.
Yeah, I actually would agree with you. I know a lot of people are wondering, P1, what do you think about the movie? You seen it a week and a half ago, and everybody keeps asking me, and yet I haven't given any answers yet. Well, I gotta say this. I fucking loved it.
Well, what?
I fucking loved it. I've been wanting to talk about this for a week. See, I fucking loved every bit of this movie. I gotta say, even with some of the problems, because this isn't a perfect movie, but for me, it's a damn good one or whatever. What a way to start the summer off.
Okay, the way you did that, like, I loved it. It sounded like you were gonna hate, like you said, hate and love at the same time. It was gonna be like, wait the... What in the fuck?
I had to throw some people off because, you know, I kind of hated when we got towards the end a little bit, but we'll explain that part when we get towards the end or whatever. But
yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of loved it. See what I'm saying? So,
it's a love-hate relationship. I can't explain it, but I love you.
Yeah, exactly. She's going to come back to me. Don't you worry, whatever. But, you know, hey, in the meantime, I'm going to keep pouring her that glass of champagne. You know?
Oh, there you go. There you go. Nice, nice touch. Well done.
So go ahead and break it down for us, Lehu.
All right. Movie opens in 1999 with Eiffel 65's Blue Dabba Dibba Da Da, which frankly threw me really off guard.
Yeah, I gotta say, it kind of threw me off guard too. I was like, wait a minute, are we having a flashback era here and going through previous Iron Man? But I gotta say, just hearing Tony Stark narrate that, I was already smiling.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, it was like, all right, well, I guess the Marvel movies are going to open the same way. We'll probably see the villain. And it opens up with Tony Stark narration. I was like, this is different. I like this.
And it's funny because he doesn't even remember what happens during this time. So hearing him narrate, it's just like him stumbling over some cue cards or something like that.
Because he's just like, oh yeah, I guess I better figure out why all this shit is happening. So let's go back in my memory brain to 1999 in Switzerland, where he
has... that memory.
Yeah. He has met up with a botanist. Do you remember her name? Is it from Extremis? Is it Rebecca?
Actually, I do not remember that chick's name, actually. Yeah, you know, it was Rebecca Hall playing the, but I don't know her character's name.
Yeah, I can't remember. Rebecca Hall. Right. So, let's be unprofessional and call her Rebecca Hall. So, he's with Rebecca Hall, and he meets this nerdy industrialist named Ardrick Killian, who wants to strike a business deal with Tony Stark.
Tony Stark. I gotta say, that guy appears at his worst.
For the beginning?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Damn, I looked at him, I said, damn, he looks shitty.
Oh, I thought you meant acting-wise. Well, whatever. I like how they really play up the Vine thing where it's like, hi, Tony Stark, can you help me out, please? And Tony Stark's just like, bitch, the fuck you want with me?
He reminded me of that nerdy dude from The Simpsons. Like, Glavin!
Glavin! Oh, we gotta get the extremist violence.
When I saw that, I said, I know it's not Guy Pearce. Whatever. He had that Jamie Foxx haircut going, the Django haircut going, or whatever, sideways and shit.
I said that once. I was just like, that's not Guy Pearce. And then I remembered, oh, wait, Prometheus. Yeah, it's Guy Pearce.
Yeah, exactly. I think he redeemed himself, whatever. And, you know, so it basically goes back to Tony Stark pretty much dissing Guy Pearce.
To Tony Stark's like, maybe I'll meet up with you, or I can go get this piece of ass.
Yeah, let's see. I don't even remember sending a guy to a roof right now, so I think I'm going to go with the piece of ass.
Right. So flash forward to present day. After New York City and the events of the Avengers, and Tony Stark is dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. He can't sleep, he has high anxiety, and all he's doing is working on new suits.
Which, who can blame him?
That's true. Like, I love how the movie points that out, where it's just like, why are you having this? He's like, did you fly through a wormhole and almost kill yourself? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Am I the only one without any powers here in the Avengers right now? So, you know, I mean, I did send a missile up to a wormhole, and if anything, I was getting attacked more by those alien things because it took you guys 5 minutes to show up after I already struck on the wormhole, you know, but, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. And I love how self-reflective the script is where, that's a great line where he says, I'm just a guy in a suit. I really love how there's so much self-reflexivity in the script, so... We then moved on to the fact that there is a new terrorist that Tony stumbles upon known as the Mandarin, who is threatening...
Played by Ben Kingsley.
Yes, played by the great Ben Kingsley. And
I think I liked what they did with the Mandarin here or whatever. I'll be the first to say, as much as I love the Iron Man character and the movies and all that, and even the animated cartoon show they had or whatever... I'm not the biggest fan of the comic books or whatever. I think the artwork in them is pretty blotchy or whatever, and I'm not a fan of it. But I do enjoy reading them, whatever. I'm not a fan as much as I am of Spider-Man, Batman, or Green Lantern, but I've always found the Mandarin to be kind of a cartoonish character for Iron Man, honestly, or whatever. You're talking about an Asian guy from China or whatever with some magical ring that can turn to a dragon.
Right. I, at least we weren't getting Fing Fang Foom. Let's be grateful of that.
Yeah, so what they did with Ben Kingsley in this... It probably would piss a lot of comic fans off.
Oh yeah, it would. So we'll get more into that as we go on here. But I did forget this little part. There's a really cool for people who have seen the first Iron Man. There's a really cool little Easter egg at that 1999 party, as in he runs into someone from the original Iron Man movie. We won't spoil who it is, but it was a really, really nice cool Easter egg.
So you don't have to say, oh, that's a nice little Easter egg. Just go ahead and say it.
Right. It's the guy who he was in the cave with in the original Iron Man. And there's a nice little exchange between the both of them. And I thought that was a nice little fun little Easter egg to have at the beginning.
It was pretty funny, whatever, because as soon as they started talking, that's what his name is Yuri in Iron Man 1 or whatever. And it's funny, Yuri described in the first Iron Man meeting Tony Stark, the exact lines was delivered between both of them. I was like, oh, that was nice to have, whatever.
Yeah, it was nice that they cared that much to actually try to do that. But, so, where do we leave off? Oh, yes. So, now, Tony Stark is trying to figure out who the Mandarin is, and at the same time, his good old buddy Rhodes has become the Iron Patriot, the branding of America for the new Iron Man.
I saluted like a motherfucker when I saw that. I stood up and I said, "You go, Colonel Rose, Don Cheadle." When I saw that, I stood up and I had a salute and everything in my right hand, my heart and everything. I was like, "Oh, say,
can you see by the dawn's early?" But
I've never been so proud to be an American until that day. Now, granted, it's a cartoon character of a robot that ain't never gonna happen, but you know.
That was the thing. Like, I was sitting there, my friend being the racially funny friend that he is, he shows up in Iron Patriot. My friend turns to me and goes, "Of course, they give the cartoonish type outfit to the black guy." I was like, "Really?"
And if anyone doesn't know who the Iron Patriot is, or in the comics, Iron Patriot is played by Norman Osborn.
Yeah, really. He's actually a bad guy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, most of the things they changed in here, it didn't bother me at all. I mean, actually, when they made the changes, I kind of saw it fit in the movie.
Hmm. Well, that's true. And I love the fact that when they go out to lunch, Rhodes is just like, "See, I'm Iron Man 2 now. I'm Flasher." And Stark is just like, "No."
Yeah, I actually, that scene that they had in the restaurant or whatever, I actually liked that scene. That scene was pretty goddamn good, I must say, or whatever. The dialogue exchange between Rhodes and Tony Stark are much better in this movie as it was in the second one, which was still good, whatever. But in this one, I just found it that much more enjoyable because they were explaining things in those scenes.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, there was a lot of good... Black's the one that wrote the script, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. He writes a lot of very good stuff for these characters. He understands them very well. And I think that shows in the movie.
Or whatever. And the changes he makes in them, whatever, it might have been just for the better, honestly, or whatever.
I thought they were all really clever.
I wouldn't have wanted to see the Mandarin as I saw him in the books, not to be honest with you. Now I see why they didn't get an Asian guy to play whatever, because they would have been, what they do to the Mandarin, they would have been like, "Nah, that would have been kind of making a joke of him or whatever, so, you know, we'll just do it this way with an average guy or whatever," so, because he's not really the main villain in the movie. He's not even a villain at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, we'll get into that in a little bit, but to keep moving on, so Ardrick comes back into the picture when he goes to meet with Pepper Potts, considerably more hot.
Yeah, 20 times hot or whatever. I was looking at him like, "Damn, boy, you cleaned up. All right, then, sure. Give me a ride."
I'm sure every nerd that's going to be going into the movie is like, "I can become Tony Stark." And then they see the nerd character beginning like, "Oh, that's me." And then they see him 20 years. It's like, there is help.
Yeah, I don't think there's any hope for you guys. Don't worry about that. I mean, unless you're creating some of the technology that's made this movie, which I gotta say, when Tony Stark puts on his Sherlock Holmes hat, whatever, and get the detective, whatever, I was just like, man, this dude is a badass motherfucker right here, whatever. Like, just the designs he can make out of his holograms and all that, I was just like, that is awesome, dude.
Yeah, that's true. Like, the whole we'll get to that. We should probably get to that later. Let's keep moving, and then we'll talk about that. So... Happy, who is now the head of security at Stark Industries, realizes that there's something off about Killian, so he follows one of his henchmen, only to find out that his henchman is a ticking time bomb. A super-powered time bomb.
A super soldier time bomb, if you will.
Oh, I see what you did there. I'm going to move on before I get pissed about that.
Oh man, yeah, we probably
puns.
I will, but
after the explosion with one of the henchmen of the Mandarin, Happy Hogan is put in the hospital, and that's when Tony gives his fuck you speech.
That's pretty much it. And you know what I was shocked by? That's almost like not even halfway through the film yet.
Yeah.
That was like at least a good 20 minutes into the film. I was just like, wow, we're already here? and like you said, that fuck you speech was, I ain't gonna lie, that fuck you speech was awesome.
It was. No, it was fantastic. Because it was just like, I'm Tony Stark. Come at me, bitch. I'm going to destroy you.
You always see these super, like in Spider-Man or Batman, it's like, oh, the people could never know who I am. My family and friends are going to be hurt. Tony Stark's like, you know what, hey. Took his glass off. Hey, fuck you, Mandarin. You can come find me at...
you can come find me at this address. fuck you, I'm gonna kill you.
And I like the line he delivered to Lou, where he was just like, he's like, I just come to the realization that the Mandarin's already dead, and I'm coming to pick up the body. I said, God damn.
That really, that's like the moment where it's like, oh, shit.
Shit just got real right now.
Right.
Which I understood, actually, whatever. Like, that was probably actually one of my favorite parts of the movie. I kind of understood that a lot, actually, because, you know, one of his best friends was in a hospital, probably not even going to make it or whatever, and, you know, Tony Stark's already an arrogant asshole or whatever. he hides nothing. Everything of him is out in the public, so, I mean, that actually kind of fits that character very well.
Mm-hmm. So, we then move on to, the moment I like, where he's like, yeah, fuck you, Jarvis. Security's up 100% on the house, correct? Yes, sir. Good, good, good. Keep that.
Even though there's okay, I gotta say about this part now. This is my one complaint about the, not even a complaint, though. It's that all these news reporters and cameras and stuff are in front of his house. It's like, you guys never knew where Tony Stark lived?
It's like, oh, now they found me. Damn it.
Yeah, and I was kind of looking at that like, okay, and for him to even give out his address, it's like, okay, people already know who Tony Stark is. Is it really that hard to find him? I mean,
yep.
His house is like in the middle of the open, so I mean, it's not like no Batcave or nothing like that. So.
So Rebecca comes back into the picture to try to warn Tony that you fucked up. But before she even has a chance to do that, the house is attacked and completely destroyed.
Which, I gotta say, probably one of the most intense scenes in the movie or whatever, because this scene isn't just, like, done and over. This scene goes on for a good 5 minutes.
Right. And, that's the thing. Like, I was sitting there like, okay, they're just going to keep firing. They're going to keep firing. They're going to keep firing. They're going to keep firing. Oh, my fucking God. They will not stop firing.
And how badass was it when Pepper Potts suited up? Huh?
That's true.
When I saw that, I said, oh, nerd orgasm.
I was just like, okay, Tony, time to sue. Whoa. Okay.
Anybody wants to know, in the comic book, she's called, I believe Rescue or Hero?
Yeah, Rescue.
Yeah, and her suit of armor or whatever is called Rescue, whatever, because she uses hers to more like, almost as a doctor, if anything.
It's surprisingly sleeker.
Yeah, exactly. And when I saw that suit up, whatever, and her just saving it, it goes to the point, because I hear a lot of complaints saying that, like, what makes Tony Stark so special or whatever when anybody can put the suit on or whatever? And they actually prove that in this movie. Like, when people put the suit on, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
That's man, true. Because, like, every time, like, Pepper's just like, okay, what do I do?
She thinks she just sticks her hand out in the air or whatever and a repulsor blast can come out. But no, it doesn't work that way or whatever. And whenever you see Tony Stark in the suit or whatever, he works the suit to a fucking full potential or whatever. Even outside of the suit, with just pieces on it, he worked every piece of that armor to full suit. So there is a significant difference of anyone can wear the suit there.
It goes back to that point that the movie's trying to make where it's Tony who makes Iron Man. No one else can really do it besides him.
Yeah, exactly, whatever, because he's fucking mastered this armor or whatever. But they... once Pepper makes it out the house, he used the controls to bring his suit back to him. He suits up, whatever, and this house is just still getting bombed.
He gets his shit rocked.
Yeah, literally, he gets his shit rocked, whatever, especially when he falls out or whatever. But
right, so
he gets out of the water, he flies out, whatever, and he's pretty much passed out, and the suit takes him to a fucking 5 miles away from Tennessee and shit, and he's like, Jarvis, why the hell are we in Tennessee or whatever? I set flight coordinates for this area a while ago, remember? Oh, shit.
Okay, so now what? Bye. Wait, what are you doing?
Jarvis powers down. I was like, oh, ain't this a bitch?
Because now it's like Tony's in the movie is smart about itself, where Tony's just in a shirt and jeans in the middle of a snow-cold Tennessee, and he's just like, whew, it's chilly out here. Jarvis, you have hot cocoa.
Yeah, he's like, so now I gotta rob a Mexican poncho.
Yep. So, he then goes next, he takes shelter in what he believes to be an abandoned barn, but it's the barn of a kid whose mom owns it. And the kid turns out to be pretty much just as smart as he is.
If not Tony Stark when he was that age.
Yeah, and there's a nice little play between the two of them where Tony Stark's kind of a dick to the kid at first, but then he kind of lightens up to him because he does see himself in him.
I gotta say, this is usually the part of the movies where stuff like this annoys me, but I really enjoyed the bantering between these two. There were some good comedic lines in this part, especially, this is more towards the end of it, but towards the end of it, whatever, when he's trying to play the whole, like, oh, Tony, I'm cold, or whatever, and he's just like, and you know how I know that? It's because we're connected. And he just, he's a kid, I was like, damn.
And the kid's just like, ah, I thought it'd work.
I said, yeah, that's something I would do. see, I can never fault this character for being such a dick because at the same time I look at it and go like, oh, I'd do the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's just, okay. Like, my whole thing with that was just the whole idea of, like, this is Tony Stark. This is who he is. He is the guy who is a dick until someone is able to show that he has a heart.
Yeah.
Because they do have a nice little turnaround with that kid.
Yeah, and I think they portrayed his... honestly, out of all the three movies, I think they portrayed his character the best in this one. I gotta say that right now. They've translated his character from book to screen, like, perfectly in this movie or whatever. And I love the whole... the bantering of what Tony Stark is or whatever. He's an asshole with a heart of gold or whatever. And you really see that in the movie.
That's true. No, I agree with that. So... while Tony's trying to figure out what the hell is going on and how he's going to defeat the Mandarin, shit's not going well all around. Huh?
He becomes James Bond.
Yeah, he kind of does. Like, there's that whole scene later whenever he has to infiltrate the Mandarin's base without the Iron Man suit and he builds all of his own weapons. That scene's awesome because it shows, wow. Yeah. You know, if they didn't get Daniel Craig...
You know what? That stunt double was Daniel Craig. He was like, you just couldn't recognize it.
I really was thinking to myself, like, he was even doing, like, the gun movements, like, using the specific moves that I've seen in Bond movies. I was like, I wonder what's going to happen if the Bond producers see this.
Yeah, and that was actually a great scene, too, whatever, for the simple fact that he was going through his little post-traumatic stress again or whatever, and the kid just says... well, you're just a mechanic, so build something or whatever.
And he's just like,
I was just like, oh yeah, I forgot.
Even he was just like, oh yeah, I am. Huh.
And then next, you know, he goes to a fucking 99-cent store or whatever and just makes his own homemade weapons.
Which
is even more hilarious, whatever, because it's like this man in the first movie built a fucking suit of armor in a fucking Azrak cave or whatever. And then he makes his own weapons out of a 99-cent store or whatever. It's like, and yet these people can't build their own goddamn suit and damn manufacturing company or anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, now thinking about it, that is kind of fucked logic. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, Tony Stark's a fucking genius. He's a man.
That's true. That's very true. So.
You know what? I gotta say this right now. I gotta say this. Tony Stark in this movie did more detective work than Batman did in The Dark Knight Rises.
And he was out of his suit just as much, so I don't see why fanboy... well, now it actually makes sense why fanboys are pissed about this.
Yeah, exactly, because this is the Batman they wanted.
This is Iron Man. We want him in the suit.
No, I gotta say, usually with these kind of movies, that's what you want to see, is the man in the suit. You want to see the armor doing all what it does, whatever.
Right.
But what makes a movie like this even better is seeing the man outside of the suit and what makes him so special.
Right, and that's what I think this job does. But guess what scene it's time to discuss?
The Ben Kingsley scene.
Yes, it is. The Mandarin scene. So, Tony has now infiltrated the Mandarin's hideout, hoping to get the Mandarin in to figure out his super scheme, only to find out that the Mandarin is a hired actor by Aldra Killian.
Which I gotta say, alright, I'm gonna say this right now. The look on Tony Stark's face, whatever... I don't even think Shane Black told him that this was going to happen. He just wanted to catch him off guard with his reaction or whatever. So when Tony Stark says, are you the Mandarin? Where is the Mandarin or whatever? He's like, he doesn't exist, man. And the look on his face was fucking priceless. Because I had the same look on my face. I said, wait, what's going on here?
My whole thing was just like, I love the fact where it's just so obvious whenever you first meet him, because he's just like, all right, ladies, let's get down to some fortune cookie business. Did you know I was just like, what in the fuck is going on?
That's what I said. I said, this has got to be the biggest twist I've ever seen in a movie ever, because I didn't see this coming from a mile away. I gotta tell you that right now.
I can tell you right now, Shane Black was probably in the premiere theater with a nice big troll face grin on his face when that happened.
I know he was, because people in the audience were probably like, "Yo, here it comes." Then they saw it, he's just sitting back smiling like, "Wait till you wait for it, the twist."
Fuck all of you.
And I gotta say, that was fucking hilarious. I'm not gonna
M. Night Shyamalan's just sitting in the audience. This is some bullshit.
He's like, stole my idea. I was gonna make Iron Man. That would have been my twist. I was gonna make that twist or whatever. But
that was
what
my
they
twist.
Pretty much do is he's a hired actor, but they turn him into some kind of like. A retard, almost a hippie.
No, they explain it very well. Is that he simply explains, you know, I'm a symbol. I'm a Saddam. I'm an Osama. When you put a symbol out there, they're going to go after that. They're not going to go after the head. And it makes total sense.
And I thought what they did with that or whatever, I thought it fit perfectly in this realm of Iron Man 2, whatever, how it fits, whatever. And I was actually kind of happy to see that because. The trailer and the beginning of the movie hypes this up like Mandarin is the big deal, whatever. But the Mandarin is like one of Tony Stark's biggest villains, whatever.
Right.
I don't know if you fit that into one movie explaining his background and these rings and all that or whatever. Because it almost goes on in the books. He goes on a journey for these rings one by one or whatever. So, I mean, I thought it was pretty interesting that they actually made Guy Pearce's character more of the Mandarin in this. And like you said, the actual Mandarin, the guy that's playing him or the actor... I forgot his name in the movie. Was it Terrell or something?
I forget.
Yeah, but he, like you said, he's a symbol. He's like Batman, you know?
He really is. And they explain that perfectly, where he's just like, I'm a symbol, man. I'm not the one you want to go after. The one you want to go after is right at behind you. What?
Yeah, and the lines he's delivering... The look on Tony Stark's face, whatever, he's just like, I don't believe I'm hearing this right now. I had the same look on my face that Tony Stark did. I kept saying in my head, where's your double at? Where's he at? Where's the real Mandarin at?
Right. Well, I'm going to get into that a little later because I have a theory about that. So, Tony gets captured by Oliver Killian, only to find out that Pepper has been too. And Pepper has been given the extremist virus, which is what's making his little minions blow the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes
some of them are unstable, and because what they were trying to do is recreate the super soldier serum for Captain America, which goes throughout every character in the Marvel character.
Right. Time out here. When is the Marvel Universe going to learn that that's never going to work? Because every time I've noticed in the Marvel Universe that they try to recreate that serum, nothing good comes out of it. Nothing good comes out of it. Like, did they learn with the big hulking green monster that that wasn't a good idea?
I tell you this right now, whatever. Pretty much, if you try to recreate this serum, you're pretty much the bad guy.
Yeah.
This was a one-time thing, whatever, from one dead scientist, whatever. It's never going to happen again. Instead of trying to recreate some super soldier serums, how about we just make some armors or something like that, whatever? Because we ain't going nowhere near this.
That's the thing. Like, how come villains aren't like, hey, look, instead of going for the super complicated thing that'll be really fucking bad if we don't do it right, how about we just create a suit of armor? Huh? That doesn't seem like a bad idea.
And what this virus does, whatever, this extremist virus does, it helps grow back limbs and shit like that,
right.
Too, whatever. So pretty much he had the lizard from Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man's serum as well.
And they did it much better, but that's not here nor there. But
yes,
so,
it really did.
Arja Killian pretty much reveals that he has Pepper, and he also has Rhodes that he's captured, and he's trying to get into the Iron Patriot suit, which he succeeds.
Awesome with that, seeing Rhodes just fly around trying to catch the Mandarin or whatever, and yet he just kept going to sweatshops and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, they were just dicking him over, like, every time it's just like, freeze me! Aww.
And then when Tony Stark tries to hack into the War Machine suits, whatever, he's like, "What's your password, Rose?" He's like, "War Machine rocks, capital letters with a Z at the end." I said, "Good lord!"
He's just like, "Wow, you really made him like the guy. Like, I want to be a hero too."
Yeah, I don't know, when he said that, I was just like, "He's like, you know, he loves being War Machine. You know,
wouldn't you? You get a big suit of armor with a bunch of guns on it."
Man, that shit would have P1 tatted all over that goddamn armor, all right? that armor would have some spinning rims on it somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, so... Okay, so we move on from that. So Tony does get his armor back, and actually a really funny scene.
Yeah, because he spends like 5 minutes, like, because what Tony can do, he can control the armor piece by piece to come to him, whatever.
Right.
And he's trying to do whatever because the suit is powering up with the little kid or whatever. He's getting his the energy back up. He's throwing his hands in the air talking about, he's like, to these two guys that are supposed to be watching him, he's like, you guys are going to die any minute now. Just and he keeps flapping his hands, and they're just looking at him like, I can't believe we got stuck doing this.
You're full of shit. You're tied up. And then I just love how he does it. He finally gets his suit, and he starts beating up. And then the one guy who's making fun of him the most just puts down his gun and is like, I'm going to go out this way. I don't even like working here. Sorry, man. Sorry.
That was a bad. A lot of good comedic lines in this movie, I must say. Whatever. I was like, the tone fits. That's one thing about these Iron Man movies, the consistency of the tone or whatever. It's just all throughout all three movies. That's something I've never had a problem with because they start the franchise off with that and they end it with that or whatever. And I enjoyed it. And that's pretty much the character or whatever. And I enjoyed that or whatever. But I got to say, this scene right here was a badass scene because it shows just one piece at a time coming to him or whatever, and he's using each one as a weapon against all the bad guys that are coming in. I was like, this is a well-choreographed fight scene here, action scene here or whatever. I was like, I bet Joss Whedon is staring at that and going, the fuck, man?
You're not talking about the – oh, yeah, no, I know which one you're talking about. So we then move on to Rhodes and Tony are trying to figure out, shit, what the hell do we do?
Before that scene or whatever, Guy Pearce gets Rhodes out of the suit. How badass was that when Rhodes jumped out of that fucking suit?
Oh, we're doing this now. Okay. He comes out.
I was like, I said, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say, this is probably my favorite Iron Man movie. And I got to say that because it had everything I wanted in an Iron Man movie. And it had Rhodes there. It had Peppers being a part of the plot or whatever. It had the extremist virus in it. It had AIM included in it. It had Iron Man and all of his armor in it, whatever, which I know people were saying, like, oh, more armor once again, whatever. But the armor is one of the biggest parts of the goddamn Iron Man
movie. That's true. That's true.
And seeing that hole in the ground with all the light up or whatever, I was just like, yeah, that's pretty much from the comic and cartoon right there.
That's true. So we then move on to
Rhodey Rhodes meeting the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Now, remember how I said the look on Tony Stark's face was funny? The look on Rhodes' face was even funnier.
Because he's just like, where are you, Terrace? I'm not the one you want. What do you mean I'm not the one you want? He's not the one you want. What do you mean he's not the one? Oh, god damn it.
He's got a gun pointed to him, and Rhodes is like action. This movie right here proved to me, like, Don Cheadle's one of my favorite actors, whatever. He's like straight up action star written all over him, whatever. He comes in there with the gun. He's like, you're under arrest, whatever. He's just like, oh, what's going on? He drinks his beer and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my god.
So that's true.
Like, and like you said, they go back and forth, going like, he isn't the one you want. He really isn't the one.
That's true. So Rhodes and Stark have now pretty much figured out what they have to do. They find out that Pepper and Killian are on
stuff with Rhodes.
Yeah, they pretty much figured out that Pepper and Killian are on a boat and that Killian has a plan to kill the president. So Tony has to go intercept Air Force One to try to stop this from happening, but doesn't succeed and instead has 13 people flying through the air, which is a really, really badass and really well done action scene.
Yeah, I gotta say, this is probably... Once again, they topped themselves off again from the whole suit coming from Tony Stark trying to escape from the Mandarin's palace, if you will, whatever. And this scene was pretty badass, I gotta say, whatever. Because once Tony Stark goes out to save one, you're thinking, like, Jarvis tells him, oh, he can only save 4 people. So you're like, ah, shit, what the hell is he gonna do?
Barrel monkeys!
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking, when I first saw that in the trailer and I heard Jarvis say he can only save 4 people, I was, like, thinking... How would I do this, whatever? And that was the best. That was what I thought of too, whatever. Just each person grab their hand and just fly them all off. You know.
That's really the only way you could have done it. And I love how that scene ends where he's just like, "Hooray! I saved all you!" And then you see him get hit by a truck, and everyone in the audience is like, "Ah!" And then you find out that he's been doing what he's done the whole movie, where he controls a suit, from far away.
From his headgear or whatever, in which. Which was another comedic take or whatever. A lot of good comedic moments in here, I must say, or whatever. I was laughing a lot more than I thought I would.
Right, and that's the thing. So from that point, it then becomes the big boat scene, where it's time to start Bardrick, and Tony and Rhodes only really have guns, which, considering what they're going up against, is like pea shooters. So
yeah, going against lava monsters.
Yeah. So then, we now have the scene that made everyone freak out in the trailers. 42 Iron Man suits flying right
at ass.
At the audience.
And, which I gotta say, which is probably the best action scene I've seen in a while. Probably since the, since Skyfall, maybe, if I want to say. So what did you think about this ending?
My whole thing with the ending was I loved it. I love the fact that you had all 42 suits coming in and Tony Stark just being himself, trying to figure out which one was the best ones for him.
And there was also a scene where I gotta say, I thought Pepper Potts died.
I did too. Like, I actually thought that the movie wasn't gonna pull that.
Yeah, when I saw that, I said, I just kept thinking, even as, which I thought was a cool-ass sequence, too, with Tony Stark switching from armor to armor.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a badass use of all the armor there. Whatever. But that whole time while he was doing it, I just kept going in my head, is she really dead? I was like, no, she can't be dead, because it went on for a while before it revealed that she was still alive.
That's true. So, I guess, like, my whole thing was, there was one little thing I had with the ending. Because,
mm-hmm.
Let's just get to it. So, after the movie ends, and they beat Arjakillion, this is the other big thing. Tony Stark has the arc reactor removed from himself.
I know! And I gotta say, this came to the end of Spider-Man, I mean, of Iron Man. This just can't be. I said, how the hell does he have the arc reactor removed from him? That made any damn sense.
That's true. Like, it was just that whole thing where it's like, wait, where are they going to go from here?
That was a good point, too, whatever, because that's all I kept thinking. It's like, this is the first part of Phase 2 for the Avengers, whatever. So these movies are supposed to be building up to that Avengers set. And I was thinking, looking at this, like, I don't see how this involves this character in the next Avengers movie now.
That's true. So, that's it, people. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't think anyone really does, but I'm giving this a strong see it.
Oh, getting a strong see it from damn. He sounds enthusiastic about it.
I am. I loved the hell out of this.
Even with the ending.
Yes, even with the ending. I feel like it sets me up more for a better surprise.
You know, I gotta say, with the ending, it actually kind of just left me sad. I gotta say, I was just like, this really is the end of these Iron Man movies. I said, I'm not going to see any more now, whatever. And it also says, too, whatever, revealing Tony Stark will return. Notice how I didn't say Iron Man. I just said Tony Stark will return.
That's true. That's so true. Saying, I didn't think about that.
So I'm going, like, usually they say, like, the like Captain America or Thor. They don't say the actual name of their returning or whatever. So they actually said Tony Stark. And I was just like, well, so Iron Man's no more, because at the end of the movie, he pretty much blows up all the suits.
Right, that's true too. So I don't know where we're gonna go from here, but I'm guessing you give it a see it too.
I'm gonna give it the strong see, a very strong see as well. Whatever, I love this film. I enjoyed everything about it, even with the little twists or whatever that some people call plot holes in them.
Uh-huh.
I actually enjoyed it, and I enjoyed what they did with the characters in here. I love the interaction of having Don Cheadle's character more in here or whatever. Pepper Potts being a big part of the story and doing more to just being Tony's saving grace or whatever. I love this film. I can't wait to own it. So I'm going to strong see it too.
I can't either. Well, it's late. I got to get some sleep, and I'm going to dream about being Iron Man all night.
And that's Iron Man 3, folks.
Good night, y'all.
Must be stopped.
You don't know who I am. See me coming.